The Life of Mary Sullivan. Yesterday, Max Sandler took the witness stand to save himself from a prison sentence. District Attorney McGraw lost no time in ripping Max's utterly true, his utterly fantastic story to ribbons. He made Max's death letter seem a fraud and a lie. If Max wanted Mary to believe that he was one of the gangsters he's been associated with, then why, in the letter to her to be read after his death, did he claim he was really trying to round up the criminals? Why, if he wanted her to forget him and think him worthless, did he, in the letter, make himself out a suicide, a hero and a martyr? Max was completely bewildered. Just as the prosecutor branded the letter in ringing terms, a fake, Dr. Benson leaped to his feet in the audience.
Your Honor, I'm Dr. John Benson. I want to be sworn in as a witness for the defense.
It is a moment later. Max, stoned and puzzled, is back in his chair, out of things, as Mary, Dr. Benson, and Max's attorney take time out to consult hastily.
Well, now we've got to talk fast and to the point, Dr. Benson.
I know, but Mr. Gaynor, yes? John, this is just what we didn't want, is it?
Why, Mary? Didn't you want me to testify?
As Max's friend, your testimony would be likely to be prejudiced, Dr. Benson.
But my reputation in the community...
That wasn't all, John.
Huh?
John, you know how you simply blurt things out when you're angry or upset.
And that prosecutor is as vicious as a snake would.
What's the difference? Max is sunk right now unless we do something. What have we got to lose?
Maybe you've got something to lose, John.
Whatever I can say won't make anything any worse than they are now. And it might improve matters.
Well, I
say all right. Let him testify. Might do us some good.
After all, I know for a fact that letter's authentic. Absolutely the real thing. And written long before Max was captured as a gambler. I told you what I know about it.
Yes.
Now, you're the lawyer. Put me up there and ask me the right questions and you'll get answers.
It's the cross-examination I'm worried about. Well, I guess the judge wants us to get started. Are you ready, Dutton?
Whenever you are.
We're ready to begin, Your Honor. Will you please call Dr. Benson to the stand?
Dr. John Benson to the stand, please. Dr. John Benson to the stand. Solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you?
I do.
Name?
John Benson.
Be seated.
Mr. Benson, will you please tell the court what your profession or occupation is?
I'm a practicing physician and surgeon. I've been practicing medicine and surgery for some years in the town of Sanders. I'm the head of the children's clinic there.
That will do, Doctor. Do you know the defendant, Max Sanders?
I do.
Very well. I mean by that, are you friends? Inseparable friends?
We're on good terms. Haven't always been, though.
Were you aware of Max Sanders' involvement with the gang of gamblers that tried to crash your town?
I knew about it all along. And I also know positively that...
Answer my questions, Doctor, please.
Yes, sir.
When did this death letter, let us call it? When did this death letter that Max Sanders wrote to his wife, to be opened after his death, first came to your attention?
About 6 months ago.
Is this the letter?
I couldn't be sure. I didn't actually read it. But Reverend Blaine read it. He knew what Max was planning to do about the gambling ring even before he read the letter.
I see. The, Reverend Blaine, eh?
Yes, sir.
The court's indulgence for one moment, please. Will an officer go at once to the clerk of courts and have drawn a summons forthwith for the Reverend Blaine and Sanders? Thank you. Now then, Doctor?
Yes, sir.
How did Reverend Blaine happen to know of Max Sanders' intentions concerning the gamblers?
Max told him.
And why should the Reverend tell you what probably was told to him in confidence?
Well, I'd become pretty impatient with Max about the way Max was behaving toward Mary over this gambling racket thing.
I see.
He was making things unhappy for her.
Of course. Playing a part all the time.
Well, I didn't know that then. Well, I got sick of it. I was going to report the gambling outfit and demand that it be raided. I told Reverend Blaine so, and he told me not to do that yet. When I asked him why, he told me what Max's secret plan really was. But I didn't believe it, and said I was going to take the train to the capital and speak personally to the governor.
Dr. Benson, you have heard the contents of the death letter as it was read in court. Does it confirm what the Reverend had told you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Benson. The court is surely indebted to you. Will you cross-examine, Mr. McGraw?
Thank you, Mr. Gaynor.
Dr. Benson.
Well?
You're a very good friend of the Sanders, aren't you?
I said we were on good terms.
Mm-hmm. According to my notes here, you also said you haven't always been on such good terms.
Well?
Why not?
Why not what?
Why haven't you always been on good terms? Does that mean you and Max Sanders quarrel?
We both have hot tempers.
Oh, then you did quarrel.
Now and then, yes. What of it?
Now, just be good enough to permit me to ask the questions, Doctor. You know, that's my business to ask questions. You just answer.
All right.
Yes. Now, what did you quarrel about usually, Dr. Benson?
I don't recall.
Oh. Very well. You said you and the Sanders were on good terms, yet you deny that you're good friends, exactly. Tell me, do you always call Mrs. Sanders Mary?
Hey, what do you mean, anyhow?
Please, sir, let me ask the questions. Do you?
Well, I've known Mary, Mrs. Sanders. I've known her for years.
Since before Max Sanders, knew her?
I'm a family doctor.
Oh, yes. Family doctor. And such. Well, then you're an old friend of Mary Sanders more than of Max Sanders, her husband, huh?
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. And so you were deeply perturbed when Max was making Mary unhappy by his strange actions. Were these other quarrels you had also because of Mary Sanders?
I object, Your Honor. I object to the prosecutor's uncalled for insinuation.
Uncalled for insinuation?
Exactly. Is it uncalled for to inquire into the motives of a witness who may care enough about a person affected by the case to conceivably color his testimony?
Do you dare to imply that the witness would commit perjury?
Just a moment. Let me say something.
The witness is prejudiced. I said nothing about
it. Wait a minute.
Your Honor, please.
All right. Let's say, just for the sake of argument, that I do love Mary Sanders. If I wanted to commit perjury for her sake, why shouldn't I want to make sure that Max Sanders goes to prison for my sake? Now, Mr. Prosecutor, go on with questioning.
You see now, John Benson, why Mary feared to see you testify. Hot-headed or calculated, your flare-up on the stand may have saved the day for Max Sanders.